from the rugged desert outside Yuma, Arizona. This is Outpost Outspoken. Outpost Outspoken is the official podcast of U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground, which conducts natural environment testing of military equipment in Arizona, Alaska, and the tropics.
Welcome to Outpost Outspoken. I'm your host, Anna Henderson. Today, Staff Sergeant Angel Viveros with Yuma Test Center's Airborne Test Force joins us. On April 30th, he was named the U.S. Army Test and Evaluation Command's Non-Commissioned Officer of the Year. Welcome.
Thank you.
You earned the title based on your performance during the Best Squad competition that aims to assess each squad on their technical and tactical proficiency, as well as their ability to work as a disciplined and cohesive team. Before we get into the competition, tell us about your role in the Airborne Test Force.
My role in the Airborne Test Force is I work in the aerial delivery section. We work in the sling room, work with the heavy loads.
And you jump from the aircraft, so you prepare the loads and then jump from the aircraft?
Yeah. So we prepare loads. That's my main job, but I'm also a test jumper. So anytime they need me jumping, I'm there.
What made you want to compete?
When they mentioned it, I had already heard about the competition. So it was a quick hand raise just because I like to kind of put myself in uncomfortable situations. And even if I don't win, I just feel it makes me a better soldier just to get the experience. That was my goal, not even to win, just to get the experience.
The Best Squad is an Army-wide competition, and you competed in ATEX competition, which includes a soldier from each of their subordinate commands. Now let's get into this competition. It spans over 3 days, and it includes various challenges, including land navigation, obstacle course, a fitness test, warrior lanes, a 12-mile road march, a stress shot test, and a senior NCO board with ATEC leaders. Tell us about some of the challenges, like the land navigation. What was that about?
So land navigation, you know, you get your map and compass and a protractor, and then you use the skills that you use to navigate the land to find certain points. It was 5 points. It was probably one of the challenging ones for me. Well, not one of the challenging ones, just one that I was kind of stressing about because just throughout my career, I kind of was never really good at land navigation because of my techniques. But I don't know what it was about that day. I just used one of the techniques that's called a terrain association. And I was able to sprint to all of my points and got all of my points within 5 points within about 40 minutes. I would think I was done within like 2 hours before everybody else was done.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. It was. I impressed myself. I was surprised myself.
How about the 12-mile road march?
The 12-mile road march, that one was usually any physical events are usually my strong point. But I think because of the miles that we had already put in the day before. So the land nav, I think we like minimum we put in was like 10 miles just walking the terrain. And by the time the 12-mile road march came, you know, we're kind of already just smoked. You know, we started the ruck march. And usually when I get to like mile 3-4, that's usually like when I'm like warmed up. And I could start, you know, getting a good pace. But that's when we got to like mile 3 or 4, that's when I like realized that my body was smoked. Like I could feel my body just super tight. It just wasn't where it's usually at the 12 mile.
Your rucksack had, it was 35 pounds, correct?
Yes, it was 35 pounds dry. And then whatever water that you have. So probably around like 40, 45 pounds. That's how much I had.
And there was also a time limit for that.
Yeah. The time limit was under 3 hours. I can usually get it around 2 hours and 30 minutes. But like I said, this day, just my whole body was just kind of shocked and ended up getting it within 2 hours and 52 minutes around there, which is, to me is slow. But it was pretty dreadful. I'm not gonna lie.
You also had a senior NCO board with ATEC leaders. That sounds very intimidating.
Yeah.
Set the scene for us.
They give us material to study for beforehand, but going in there and seeing all these sergeant majors from this high ranking leaders in our organization, you know, sitting there kind of drilling you on, and you know, they do it on purpose. So I guess I kind of already have that in my mind that they're just trying to test your military bearing and your like discipline, but it still doesn't help when you go in there and you got all these leaders looking at you and they're just kind of just drilling you. That one was a little bit tough for me because I haven't been to that many boards. It was pretty tough. It should have been before the stress shoot.
Speaking of the stress shoot, so you do certain things that make your heart race, and then you have to go fire a weapon. Tell us about that.
Yeah, for sure. That was after the PT test, so they had us doing some exercises, some sprints, burpees, push-ups, and then we'd go fire our weapon, and this is all with all our kit, with our full kit on and a helmet. So it was a smoker for sure. I remember getting to my weapon just being super out of breath, and I was able to get accurate shots. So that was honestly one of the funnest parts of the events.
How did you prepare for something like this?
I had known about a month out. And backstory, I had just got over an injury. I had about a year and a half long injury to my hips, my labrums. So I was just starting to get healthy. So I kind of had already been doing physical therapy and training on my own. And then when they told me about it, that's when I knew I had to like crank up the training. So just going on runs, squatting, just getting ready for the ACFT.
The Army fitness test?
Yes, that's the Army's PT test, the Army Combat Fitness Test. Just getting ready for that. I used to get a really good score, basically max it every time. But since my injury, I wasn't able to do that. So just one of the parts was the physical, trying to get ready, physically ready. That's my strong point, is the physical part. Land navigation, like I had said earlier, isn't my strong point. So thanks to Sergeant Harris, our medic at the shop, and Sergeant Lavalla, they took initiative on helping me out on the things that I wasn't familiar with. Sergeant Harris, he used to be an infantryman. He's a medic. So he helped me out with the warrior task lanes, land navigation. He basically helped me out on everything. Once I came up to those events at the competition, it was kind of a breeze just because of their help. And Sergeant Lavalla, put the whole kind of training together. It was about a week or two beforehand where we just were kind of just going over every day on what tasks we're going to go over in the competition. So that helped me out a lot. Like I said, the physical part is just natural to me, you know, so that wasn't much really stressed. I was just stressed about the academic part, I guess.
It's great to hear that your unit here in Yuma supported you. So even though you were going alone to represent ATF, like you had, they had your back and they really helped you excel. How did you feel about being recognized at the ATEC headquarters?
I actually felt really, really proud. Like I just thought about all the things I had been through beforehand, just in my life and my career, and just standing in front of everybody, like knowing that I had earned this, it felt really, really good.
Well, you definitely deserved it. And kudos to your team back home for supporting you as well. I read your bio and I saw that you plan to continue your career with the Army. You hope to attend the Military Free Fall Jet Master course and the Army Ranger School. You're also currently attending college. So you certainly have a bright future ahead of you. And I look forward to seeing, you know, how your career flourishes. So thank you for your time today and also for serving our country.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Mark Schauer, aerospace engineer and Arizona National Guard officer Cullen Wilkes knew he would be involved with the military, but never imagined it would be as a test officer at U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground.
So you were an ROTC cadet at the University of Alabama, and how did you first hear about Yuma Proving Ground?
I applied for an internship through the Army Test and Evaluation Command. I actually applied for three internships, and the Army Test and Evaluation Command was the one that I wanted the least. I think there was one with Missile Defense Agency, another one that reverse engineered enemy equipment, and then there was the Army Test and Evaluation Command. And it was among a list of others, so it wasn't a list of places that I could go for the Army Test and Evaluation Command, the Redstone Test Center. And I was thinking that going to the University of Alabama, they would just send me to Huntsville, Alabama, where the Redstone Test Center was, and that's where I would end up for the summer. Little did I know I would come out to Yuma Proving Grounds. And so whenever they told me I was going there, I said, Yuma, where is that at? Sure enough, came out here after a long summer. I was actually in Taiwan and then Fort Knox, Kentucky after that. And I was here for 30 days and loved it.
What appealed to you about the mission here so much? Because you really took to it.
Being an engineer and then really just kind of being a kid a little bit, you're getting to walk around and see all the stuff you wanted to play with when you were a kid. I got to ride around in a tank. I got to see the artillery get shot off. I got to ride around in a Blackhawk. and watch C-130s take off and land. I got to ride in a C-130, watch the free fall guys jump out. That was really cool. And so seeing equipment and the, I was just curious. I was like, how? And so it was actually one of the questions that I'd asked Colonel McFall was how does this happen if we're testing these things so rigorously? And I think that was probably part of the mission that appealed the most to me, was just that, okay, these things go under such rigorous testings. Let's make sure they're good before we get them into the hands of soldiers.
Is testing parachutes where you envision yourself as an aerospace engineer?
Absolutely not. It wasn't until after I'd accepted the job that I'd gotten an email from Ryan Tyadin, who was the branch chief of air delivery at the time. And that was the only hint that I had, was about 4 or 5 months before I came out here. I saw his email signature said air delivery. I was like, okay, this guy might be my boss. So I suppose I'll be working with parachutes.
I mean, it's really cutting edge stuff for an aerospace engineer to be doing with parachutes, isn't there?
Yes. And so now that I'm here, I love it. It's really cool working with air delivery and as hands-on as you get to be. I think a lot of my peers that graduated with in my class, they don't get to be as hands-on with the stuff that they get to see. They spend a lot of time behind a desk, and I don't have to do that so much. I do spend time behind a desk, but...
Is there a chance you're going to be using some of this stuff in uniform that you're testing in your day job here?
The Arizona National Guard, probably not. I would say the special operations guys, yeah, they're probably going to be the ones that get this system and get to utilize it. These systems are very precise, and it fits well within what their mission is. I would say our mission with the National Guard, and I'm an engineer officer in particular, these are not for the big army for their use. They're too expensive as it stands right now. If there's a way to get them cheaper, and so big line units, I would say any cargo airdrops that we're getting are going to fall a lot more under regular non-guided parachutes.
Does being an officer in the National Guard give you any insights that are useful to you as a test officer?
Insights, probably not so much. The jobs are very separate. An engineer officer in the National Guard, I do a lot of, we do horizontal construction work. So airfield repairs, road repairs. It both helps us give Army facilities a better lay of the land, but it also gives us the training, gets our soldiers on excavators, bulldozers, graders, compactors, etc. Because these aren't their day jobs. You know, if you're a construction worker, you might do this 3 or 4 times a week. As a part-time soldier, you're not getting to drive these around every day unless that's also your day job. So insight, not so much. However, I would say leadership skills, yes. I'm learning a lot of communication skills and a lot of personnel management skills in the National Guard. I'm learning that communication is probably the most important thing on either side of it, whether I'm here or whether I'm there. If people don't have all the information, they can't make well-informed decisions.
It's strange. You're only a year and a half in, but it sounds like you want to stay here for a little while.
Yes, I love it here. In 2022, I came out here for my internship, which was, internship is a strong word for that too, because I was pretty much just a tour. I got to come around and play with all the toys that YPG had, and then I got to leave. And then that was pretty cool. I didn't have to do any real work that at that time, but I brought my girlfriend, now wife, out here in 2022, and we fell in love with it. We love the lay of Yuma. It's just got plenty of open space, plenty of open land. We're from Tennessee, in the kind of suburban part, and living in Yuma looks a lot like how Knoxville, Tennessee, which is where we're from, looked whenever we were growing up. How it looks here is how Knoxville, Tennessee looked in 2000 through 2015, probably.
Man, it's really good talking to you, Cullen.
Absolutely. Likewise.
This has been Outpost Outspoken. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time from the forefront of Army transformation.